We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
In the back of my mind, I'd been boiling the idea of Kuyana by being a frustrated customer and by seeing lots of frustrated customers, even though there were a lot of options in the market and lots of products and lots of sales. Turns out that the consumer was actually not satisfied. My friends weren't satisfied. Well, their closets were full, but really they were empty. When I graduated school, I thought there was a true opportunity to build something special that connected consumer to the products and how they were made.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Our guest today uses a philosophy of fewer, better, to bring luxury leather goods and apparel to women at more affordable prices. We're chatting today with Carla Gallardo, the founder and CEO of Kuyana. Kuyana started online in 2013 and has since opened 5 stores on the East and West Coast. Join us today as we talk to Carla about growing the Kuyana brand and her outlook on the future of retail. I'm joined today by my colleague, my co-host, and my friend, Susan Retta. Hello, Susan.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Why are you doing well?
Because I get to talk to Carla.
Well, I'm excited that we have Carla. Carla, welcome to Retail Gets Real.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm
pleased to learn more about Kuyana and the Carla story. So let's start with the Carla story first.
Okay.
we'll take it to Kuyana. So where did you start and how did you get here?
The start being Kuyana?
Start before Kuyana.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's a fun one. I like to start by saying that I grew up in Ecuador, South America. My family's still there. And I left when I was 18 to pursue my college education. I grew up in a home of fewer, better things. And that's a philosophy that was very much instilled in my way of living. Primarily, this philosophy was part of our home because Ecuador is, you know, a country with a lot of ups and downs in its economy. And the way that people approach purchasing is in the form of investment and really thinking through the products that they buy, not as impulsive as what I encountered when I moved to the U.S., for school. And not only did I see a lot of different products and a huge offering everywhere, but I also saw things like Black Friday that for me were a true shock. I'd never seen something like that before. But fast forward my journey through college, I studied math. I always thought I had a very logical brain, non-creative brain, and math just fit into that framework. But it turns out that in the back of my mind, I'd been boiling the idea of Kuyana by being a frustrated customer and by seeing lots of frustrated customers, even though there were a lot of options in the market and lots of products and lots of sales. Turns out that the consumer was actually not satisfied. My friends weren't satisfied. Well, their closets were full, but really they were empty. When I graduated school, I thought there was a true opportunity to build something special that connected consumer to the products and how they were made. This was particularly, you know, this thought was driven by an insight I had about the Panama hat, which is not from Panama, it's from Ecuador. And consumers were buying Panama hats in the US and Europe. And I was like, that's an Ecuadorian hat. How did the consumer get to label it that way? But it was something that I realized consumers don't even know how these hats are made, that, you know, they don't know that they're woven by women artisans, that they can't be woven when the sun is out. They have to be woven really quickly. Because of the straw dries, it's really hard to weave. And so there are different times of the day when these hats are meant to be woven. It takes hours to weave one. Anyway, there's a whole story behind that hat that people were purchasing. And I didn't think that the consumer really knew about it. And if the consumer found out the background of this product and who made it, they would actually love their product and take care of it even more than they did if it was just a physical good. That was just a thought. And then I started a career in banking, moved to New York, did the whole Wall Street thing, really acquired the toolkit that I use at Kuyana every day. I mean, I've learned how to work really a lot and effectively through very long hours, sharpen my analytical background even more. I had a boss who was a partner and who actually taught me everything that I still use today. And I always tell him he's my strongest and most important teacher. He doesn't want to believe that, but I have a lot to thank him for. But throughout those years at Goldman Sachs, I acquired this foundational background of that allows me to think the way I do. But I was missing something in my heart, which was contributing to the bottom line of the world. And I didn't feel I was making an impact there. And I didn't think that growing that career was going to allow me to make that impact. And so I left to get an MBA at Stanford in California with the idea of developing this business idea that I had back in the day into something real. And so I wrote my business school essay, and it was a very raw draft of the Kuyana business plan. And what happened during my business school years is that the stars aligned. And so, globalization and just better pricing in Asia and, you know, the past couple of decades had moved brands to produce in Asia, leaving the supply chain open in countries where there were specialty luxury factories. And so those factories were open to working with new brands. The other trend that happened was that the consumer was reaching the end of the fast fashion bubble, and the consumer was incredibly dissatisfied with the quality of those products. Also, the contemporary market, even though that was, you know, it was the kind of the new option of buying quality at a better price point than the luxury price point, quality had started to deteriorate. And so all of those things combined really opened the door for Kuyana to be created. So I graduated from business school and had a real business plan and worked at Apple for a year. I really wanted to learn how to, I'd never worked in an e-com company, and I wanted to learn about the channel. I worked in the online store side of Apple, and then I left and got started.
That's fantastic.
Long answer.
Well, no, it's a great story. Tell me, I'm going to turn it over to Susan here in a second, but what does Kuyana mean?
Kuyana means to love. Those makers of the Panama hats, the first collection of Kuyana was a straw hat collection. And those women artisans were the first weavers. And the language they speak is Quechua, which is a language of the indigenous tribes of the Andean region. And it means to love. And, you know, the concept, even at the very beginning of Kuyana, was that we will only put products to market that we love, that we are made with love, and that consumers should buy because they love them. So it's all about intention.
Yeah. Your theory on, or your mantra, fewer better things, is something that really resonates, I think, with today's consumer. And I have this theory that when I look at a lot of the direct-to-consumer brands, I feel like part of their success is that they have taken a great product that they're passionate about, and they've given the consumer this product and said, buy this, and we love it, we're passionate about it, and the consumer doesn't have to go through a gazillion SKUs. You know, if somebody searches, I just heard a statistic recently, if you search little black dress on your phone, you're going to get a gazillion, and then what do? You instantly go, I can't. But if you go to a website and you search leather tote and you come back with two options that are amazing, there's your decision. And you know you're buying a great product. So a long way of saying, how do you get inside the consumer's mind, and how do you know that that's the right strategy for today?
So one of the key insights that I mentioned and key trends was that the consumer was tired of fast fashion and goods that would just, you know, fall apart after their first wash, or products that were trendy in the moment and were irrelevant a couple months later. And so the consumer really wants to invest. And so it goes all the way back to how I was taught to buy back in Ecuador, right? And to invest, you have to make a good, educated decision. And there's a lot of trust that goes into that decision. And so the big objective is to build a brand that consumers trust. We've done all the work. We've built a supply chain that encompasses the best makers of the world. Mm-hmm. We've chosen the best materials of the world. And then we've designed those products in a very thoughtful way to fit into the lifestyle of our consumer and our woman consumer. So that process takes a lot of time. And effort. And if the consumer trusts that we've done all of those steps, the moment of the purchasing moment that you talked about is a much easier one.
Right.
So that's our big goal. And the way we do that is by doing that consistently, because the moment that we don't do that well, then our consumer is going to double guess us.
Exactly.
The next time.
You know, the word sustainability, mm-hmm. I think you haven't used it, but it sort of runs through the way you run your business. How important is that to the consumer and to you?
Yeah, it's one of our core brand tenets. And you know, what we do at Quiana is we don't over market or use some of those words just as marketing buzzwords, right? And so sustainability is a big example. It's part of our DNA from day one. Mm-hmm. We focus on organic materials. We work on creating a supply chain that's so lean and that produces products that are very intentional so that at the end of the day, we're not overproducing and products don't end up in landfill. We're selling product that lasts through many, many years, and so they don't end up in landfill at the end of the day. We are picking materials that if they end up in landfill, they'll decompose, right? That's the reason why we don't do vegan leather, for example, because that's made of plastic. And so there's a lot of intentionality in how we go about every step of the way. Are we 100% sustainable? No. But it's a big, big effort that we are making. And I think we're ahead of most players in the industry.
Take us back a little bit to that early stage where you're sitting in front of a venture capitalist and mm-hmm. talking to them about this business. Did they get it? Did they offer support?
No, I mean, it was tough. We were pitching a brand back in 2011, 2012, when venture capitalists were not putting dollars into brands. In fact, we had spent a lot of time explaining what a brand is, what that intangible is about, why a good brand, actually increases repeat rates. And we spent a lot of time doing that. Also, we were pitching a business that held inventory, which was the other thing that VCs were trying to keep away from. But we found one investor that absolutely got it. And it was an awesome meeting because we were able to pass through brand really quickly and get really into the nitty-gritty of our business and the opportunity. And she wrote us a check, and she's part of a large VC that has really been supporting us from the very beginning.
Interesting.
How do you grow? I mean, it's stay true to the philosophy,
yeah.
Continue to provide the service that you currently provide, which is good, and people recognize it as such, but you want to grow the business. How do you do that?
Our biggest focus has been on building a brand that's so strong that the primary source of growth comes from our customers and word of mouth. Rather than putting our marketing budget into digital advertising or billboards or whatever the performance marketing efforts at the beginning of our brand, we chose to put those dollars into experiential marketing moments, into catalog, which back then actually was not used by most companies anymore, but we went back to the analog because the goal was to create a brand that connected with consumers so strongly. And we were selling a concept that back then was really new, fewer, better things. That is something that you're seeing a lot of companies focus on, which was our goal. We want consumers to purchase better. But back then, fewer, better things was so new. And so we invested in our brand and on product because with good product, that consistently delivers on that value proposition, we build a brand that really connects with our consumers and that builds a lot of trust. And it turns out that through that, we were able to build a brand that was primarily, the growth was driven and continues to be driven by word of mouth. Our customers are telling their friends, their families, gifting is huge for us. And so that has been the primary source of growth. Now that we're at this point, we can start deploying capital into other types of channels. But the goal for us was always to have that foundation of an organic brand that grew because it's a great brand, it's a great product. And now we can start exploring other channels to just increase that level of awareness.
Do you have any physical locations?
Yes. So retail is something we also believed in from day one.
So do we.
Yeah.
Strongly and passionately.
So part of building a brand is that physical, there's nothing like human interaction. Even though Quiana's business plan was to be a company that sells product primarily through its online channel, we knew that physical retail was a very important part of our growth strategy. And so in 2013, we opened our first store. And if you remember correctly, that's when, you know, everybody started to doubt retail and brick and mortar, and retail started to die then.
We remember, but we like to push that aside.
Yeah. But, you know, we thought differently. One of those moments of vision, we had it in a room. Digital advertising was just the prices, the return of investment, it was all just deteriorating. And it was all going to just get more expensive. Everybody bidding on the same words. It was a place where everybody was going. And retail, on the other hand, the prices were going down. There were more spaces, and we needed spaces to connect with our customers. And so we made a bet. And we said we are going to put some dollars into physical stores, and we're going to create a pop-up strategy for the next few years and really understand how do we build retail in a way that's scalable, in a way that's profitable, and in a way that it can be a channel that interacts really nicely with our online channel, and that allows us to grow without making the mistakes that other companies had made. Right. So learning from those as well. So we did that for a few years. And along the way, we opened a few permanent stores. And, you know, since the past couple of years, our sole focus is on permanent stores. We've got the model figured out.
That's great.
How
many do you have?
We have five. But we're growing.
Good. Excellent.
You mentioned your catalog business. And I have to tell you, I do receive your catalog. And I think it inspires covered moments. Mm-hmm. Like, you look at that handbag and you're just like, I must have that.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
But I wonder, how important is the catalog to your business? Because I've become a little bit numb to shopping on my phone or on my tablet, but holding something in my hand, and when it's a bold, beautiful image, I find that very inspiring.
Oh, definitely. So yes, that's another moment in time where inboxes were so crowded that we went to, you know, the mailbox. We said, well, everybody's focusing on email. Let's go to a different box. And the goal of catalog, you know, catalog had really deteriorated through time, and catalogs were just ugly, you know, thin paper, glossy paper, looked like, you know, it just was not an inspiring shopping moment at all. So our goal with catalog back in 2012 was to reinvent catalog and to do everything that, you know, our catalog company was telling us not to do. We spent a lot of money on paper, thick paper. We did not do glossy. We did matte. We spent, you know, our dollars in photography, because our goal is to deliver an experience in that mailbox that actually trigger those emotions that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. That it wasn't just like a bag, you know, photographed in a studio that looked sad and somewhat clinical, but that bag is an experience and it's a dream. And here's why, right? And so presenting that in that way was our goal. And we also wanted customers to keep that catalog and make that part of their coffee tables. And so we, you do that?
I
oh
do.
My God, yes. I love it.
Beautiful. Hey, you know what? I also know that Kuyana is a female-run business.
Yeah.
So obviously female-led, but also energized by lots of women.
Yes.
So in what way has that been an opportunity for your business?
Yeah, I mean, we are a customer. So it's just amazing that everywhere in the company, our customers are building our product. You know, they're making our product, designing our product. They're creating the marketing campaigns. Like, it's just
they
incredibly
know where
powerful.
We need pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. To how we shop, how we think, right? How we want to open the package. Yeah. And interestingly enough, you know, men have lots of insights too. So we are mostly women.
Occasionally
I will say
they have
that. Bill, don't worry.
We're not getting into this.
We're going to be inclusive of Bill.
That's fine.
Tell us,
Thank
Bill.
You. No, I know better. You know, it's interesting to me that, Carla, you started out and it was the story of the Panama hat makers, which are not Panama hat makers. They're Ecuadorian hats. And I would think that a big part of your success has been telling the story behind the product to get people passionate about what you're passionate about. How do you find more products that really get people engaged and want to be a part of? I mean, because you're not just purchasing a thing, you're actually becoming part of a larger community to some degree.
So the question is, how do we pick the products we make and put to market? Yes, it's a great question. So we approach it from a business opportunity standpoint. As women, right, we need work bags, we need travel bags. They're just products that we need in the day-to-day. And where Kuyana comes in is to offer a better quality and at a better price point than what the market is offering. So that's how we approach it. And so back in 2011, when we started, 2012, we designed our leather tote, soft leather tote. Back then, there were no such totes in the market, particularly a soft leather product like that. There were canvas totes, and Celine had a leather tote, but there were no leather totes at $150 for the consumer. And so we designed one and we made one and we put it to market, and it was a huge success. Our travel case set, the offerings in the market were made of plastic, just a square kind of, everybody
ugly.
Had ugly. Sorry, but yes. And we created a feminine travel case set that, are two cases in one at a price point that's unbelievable.
And can be monogrammed.
They can be monogrammed and gifted. And this just changed the game in terms of small leather goods and makeup cases. And so we were very successful with that. And so that's how we think about, our products. We can't have, those huge hits in every product we put to market, but we look for those white gaps. And those are what we call our hero products.
Do you remember the first time that you traveled, let's say that you were at the airport in Chicago and you saw one of your totes?
I remember clearly. I told my husband because we were actually, I remember it being in a U.S. airport. I also remember it. We would see people on the street and my team would be so excited. They would secretly take photos of people and then they would share in the office.
What is that creepy person doing?
I remember once I was in the London airport and I saw a Kuyana tote and I wanted to like run to the person and be like, oh my gosh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I actually love that passion. I think that's wonderful because that's how much it means to you. And that's great.
Well, regrettably, we're running tight on time. And so we have one last segment of the program you may or may not know about, and it's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
So what we're going to do is we're going to offer you a series of questions, and you're just going to answer basically with the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
You're not going to think about it. You're just going to answer. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Susan?
What's your favorite comfort food?
Wine. It's not even a food.
Yes, it is.
I love it.
It's a grape. That's not a solid content anymore. So what's the one thing that's always in your refrigerator?
Bread and cheese.
Okay. Would you rather have a year without weekends or a year without your cell phone?
A year without my cell phone.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird since my son was born.
And a night owl.
I was like, that's a hard one.
Is there a movie that you quote regularly?
No.
Okay.
But I love movies. Huh? I watch a ton of them.
Favorite?
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, the last one that I really liked was Hotel Mumbai. It was the most impactful movie I've watched in a long time. I was just holding tight to the seat the whole time. Oh, no. Yeah.
That's an unbelievable story.
It's unbelievable.
Just in India and in Mumbai.
I know.
As if it happened yesterday.
It's so amazing how when you read the news, I read the same thing on the news when it happened, but seeing it in a movie, it just triggered all sorts of different emotions. So, yeah.
So what is the favorite thing that's in your office?
My team. It's so cheesy.
That's a wonderful answer.
They're going to love that.
Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Beach or mountain?
Beach.
And how about a song that inspires you?
Any Latin song from my childhood just brings me back to a place of joy.
Wonderful.
Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You did great.
It was
in
really
rapid
fun.
Fire.
Thanks.
You did great. The stories you've told and the lessons that you've given, I think, just fantastic. And
thank you.
It makes us that much more passionate about what we do on a day-to-day basis. So if people want to learn more about Kuyana, where do they go?
Kuyana.com, C-U-Y-A-N-A. And we're also on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest.
Carla, thanks
again. Sign up for the catalog.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Do that on our website.
Carla, thanks again. And Susan, thank you for co-hosting. You're always great. I enjoy spending time with you.
Thank you.
And if you want to learn more information about this episode or today's discussion, go to our website, retailgetsreal.com. And please send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.